anti-Neoplatonic, man. You're supposed to encourage kids to get educated and get smart. You don't kill them. So his wife would represent the effect caused by satellites.
Wow.
And they married in the year of the Exodus year, 1998. So she was doing deaf poetry. She was a model and fashion icon. She was part of the global theater, you know, language, that's fashion. Let's see if they say anything about fat. Her husband began creating baby clothing from his Fat Farm clothing line. Then she took over Baby Fat. So they're not explaining where the term came. I mean, is the guy interviewed? Don't anybody ever ask him?
I don't know.
Facts. Now, Def Jam, is that the label that had the people getting murdered around it?
Those
guys that got killed, they were part of a label.
Like Tupac and Biggie?
Yeah,
that would be. Who's that other guy? Nate, he's the one that every day I pray for you. He did that song, the tribute song.
P-Diddy.
Yeah, Puff Daddy.
P. Diddy
had a label.
Yeah.
So it wasn't Def Jam.
I don't think so.
I don't know. There could have been things like that going on in Def Jam, too. It was just like a media free-for-all, you know, after. It was like they didn't even have that much of a beef, and it was fans that escalated it to like that because of the media. It was fucked.
I just found a history
page. You're saying the fans escalated it to murder? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. It was not Big E or like his friends that killed Tupac and, you know, all that stuff. It was like people who were, because they had, through the media, pumped up the idea of West Coast versus East Coast gang. Like that was even a thing. And those rappers were actually like, they had played shows together, you know, like it was not like this big rivalry, but because I think Tupac actually started it as kind of a media stunt, and it just got out of hand to the point of both of their transitions.
Right, well, that's where the audience
is. That's an elaborate way to
the employer.
It out,
yeah, and you know, the McClune would point out that the audience is the new employer, and the audience gets in the act. The audience takes over sporting activities. So the bangers in soccer in Europe, the gang fights, and then so the audience uses the icons as media shrinks. The people take the icons and use them as weapons against their anthropomorphic tribal warfare.
So tell me more about how they would weaponize that in this situation.
Okay, so here's Tupac makes a joke about East Coast versus West Coast, and the audience, who Tupac is an employer for, he provides music and imagery and identity, then the audience in the global theater is not a passive audience. They start creating, and they create noise by causing gang warfare and fights. They took the information and made it their own. They applied it beyond what Tupac meant. They use people.
Powerful.
Media are games, and games are sports, and then sports become more violent. So, McClune had this line: the super audience, like the super enterprise, works for itself. So, the fan clubs, the audiences of different icons, work for themselves, and they use it for themselves.
True.
So, you can't take your art and make it all about you and your originality. All art goes into the public swill, the mass man's swill, and is used by people, if it has a certain resonance, for their gang tribal minds. So all art is absorbed by the audience and used for its purposes. So an artist today is a slave of its audience.
Yeah, not me. I guess I would not say I'm an artist anymore. It's a different thing. I've cracked the code.
Well, part of it is you don't worry about being a slave. And take today, McClune points out everybody's both a king and a slave. You have 400 people working for you, gas station attendants, all the media environments you use, you got people working for you. So you're a king on that level. But you also are plugged in and are a slave for anybody else, your neighbor, depending on what industry you're in. Not even depending, just the fact that you're in an industry. So
yeah,
you're providing a service for people.
A new industry, an anti-industry.
What would that be? How could you do that?
It's like, well, I'm not creating an anti-music industry. It's like a music anti-industry. Or like it's not even music anymore. It's post-music, essentially. I think what I'm going to do is make an app that is basically a subscription to a live, like a living documentary. And I'm going to publish everything that I make that I think is, like, not just something I... If I don't throw it away and I think there's something that happened there that's, like, was interesting to me, I'll publish it. And it's going to be, like, $1 a month. So it's, like, it doesn't cost anything to do, basically. But it's a subscription thing. And I just publish it, and I still do my job and do whatever else I want to make money. And it doesn't matter if anyone does it, but I think it could be something that creates a new thing that's not the music industry. And I don't release my music on Spotify or iTunes or anything, and you can only get it through this, and you get any album or recording I make like that sounds professional, as well as like the hours that went into writing that song, I'm writing and recording at the same time. So it's just kind of a new thing.
Are you saying that you'd have a camera on you live broadcasting?
Nope. It's just audio, because then it's like if you're in earbuds, it feels like you're in the room with me. Or if you put it on a speaker, it feels like I'm in the other room.
Are you listening to what you're making live? Are you broadcasting in real time?
I haven't decided exactly the logistics of how I'm going to do it. I just kind of like everything came into clarity a couple days ago. So I haven't really.
So you're saying you're going to create and you're going to distribute on your own. And not go through any institutional.
I will not have a manager.
Sales.
I will not have a booking agent. And if people want me to play shows near them, there will be something in the app that's like raise my hand type of button or something, and it will algorithmically show me where the most density of who would actually come, and they want to pay a to buy a ticket, or even if it's just in somebody's house, whatever. But I'm just going to play the places where people would actually come. I'm not going to do the grind of touring to try to, like, from the outside in, grow a fan base. It's like, it doesn't matter if anyone, like, connects to it. I hope people do, because I really enjoy that. But the beauty of it is that it just doesn't even matter. It's not even about the music, you know. It's post that. It's about the process, you know.
And this is what you learned from Dobbstown.
I think hanging around Dobbstown has stretched my mind in a way that has let me come to some of these realizations, for sure. So I think it was not that it's like chronological, but there's like it worked out my brain in a way that now my brain is stronger and can think of things that are much beyond what, I could think of 5 years ago. That's definitely due to Bobstown and hanging around and all that. I was really inspired by your archives.
Mm.
That was a huge inspiration for some of these things. That it's like
right. So you got a more realistic understanding of your environment.
Yes, definitely. And what was like something that like didn't take from me? It's just like this is what I make, and then I don't have to do anything more. I don't have, you know, I don't have to try to make a career out of it. That doesn't matter. And so that all of a sudden I felt free because I used to be
freedom.
Essentially, I was like a slave to the idea of how
you dope smoking fucking homosexual. You think that's all freedom is? So you got a lot more work to do. Well, Nate, we'll let you run around for a couple of years in your delusion of free freedom, but the real freedom will be sent into you when you're drafted.
That's really
not worried
it.
About
sorry,
it.
We
freedom
doing,
to work and
we're doing a callback.
Yeah.
Now, Nate, what you're saying?
I didn't hear the setup.
Half an hour ago. But you're saying, Nate, that you Ion says do not do anything for any other purpose other than that makes you feel good and you like doing it. Don't do it for money or nothing. And Ion says,
no, I'm not
if you do
money.
That,
it's sort just going to make me money.
That's what
I'm doing it because that's I'm going to essentially be. I'm making this like raw footage level documentary that's gonna last the rest of my life that like however long I want it to go, and that's gonna be something that is like that's never been done before, as well as it's creating an environment that's taking the middleman of this tired husk of a music industry and saying fuck it, like all I care about is writing the music, connecting with people, and just like trying things and like making shit that is interesting to me. And by doing it this way, I don't have to worry about what is on the line. There is nothing on the line. It's just me doing that. And
well, that's what that's Ion's main message.
Yeah.
You're taking Ion's main message. You do something because you want to do it and you feel good doing it. There's no other reason to do it. And Ion says often, you will attract attention by that way, and then you might get some money from it. But you don't do it for that reason. You don't say, okay, if I act real cool and don't do it for any purpose, I'll get money. Oh, yeah, you get still
oh,
got the
no,
money back.
No, it just, definitely. It feels really good. I feel, like, very confident in what I'm, like, these concepts and ideas. It's very clear and clean and not, there's no morality about it. It's not like, oh, I'm going to do this because that's going to make me look cool. Like, it's basically taking away that self-editing that makes something packaged. Except, like, and any editing that's done is because I thought it would be cool to try this. You know, it's not like, it's not to try to get more people into a concert hall, because if I never play another concert again, then it doesn't matter. Like, I'm just making things, and some non-musical things, too, but this kind of thing, it just lines up all the things that are clumsy about how I've done it in the past and takes out all of the friction.
Yeah. So what's coming, Nate? You've got to, in the LaRouche mold, you've got to talk to Ion about inventing things. You must go forward and help the society build up its technological ground, which is what LaRouche says. But we are actually way ahead of LaRouche now because we got a different kind of technology than he suspects. I mean, he predicted Coldplay and all that, Cold Fusion. He'd be surprised that I came up with it, you know, with Ion. They don't know about it yet, as far as I know, but they've been promoting it, and that's why he made the book, because he was the only public intellectual talking about Pons and Fleischmann when it happened.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that was good.
Yeah.
But he says that you work for the society by becoming as smart and educated or intuitive. No, not intuitive. Understand what's going on, and this will be difficult before Ion. There's so many science outlets, different many magazines. What are you going to get into? You think corporations are doing it? They don't need you. If one thing science has is a corporate image, you become just a techno pawn when you get into those industries, and that's not attractive. But Ion has said their science doesn't apply anymore, no matter what it is, and there is a new changing thing, and part of being a responsible person nowadays is to eat RNA drops, because you keep yourself tuned in and stay alive in the physical, the expanding, improving, mutating physical. Now, occasionally I get a LinkedIn message from somebody, like Tariq did this, my old Black Caucus friend in L.A. And, you know, LinkedIn, I'm on it. I don't know when I got on it, years ago. And what it does is people name what you are. They'll send a message, go to Bob. He's a very good person at salesmanship. You guys know about that, LinkedIn?
You know,
that service,
heard of
that connecting.
Occasionally
I'll get emails, and they'll say, hey, so-and-so sent this about you. They grade you. And so Tariq said we were very good at marketing. So he listens to this Ion thing, and me going on about we're going to solve the energy crisis, there are all this huge claims we make. He thinks I'm doing that to market RNA drops. I'm making this big myth. And I've got this Ion employee, this guy who pretends he's a medium, you know. It's just funny that they think we're just marketing. And Tariq, what did he say?
Marketing plan ever.
Tariq said a few years ago, Tariq is a health nut, and he said, I don't believe your Ion because that guy's got mucus. I can hear the mucus in his mouth, in his throat. And if you have mucus, he says you're a meat eater and you got all this crap in you. And so he rejects Ion because he hears mucus in JW's voice.
that's
a bad mistake.
He's stretching.
Yeah, that's stretching it. And, you know, JW, I don't know, he does have mucus. He's always, I would say, general clearing his throat, but he eats everything and anything. He's not a health nut, and he can afford it. He has luxurious meals every day, constantly. And he's an expert on food, which probably is where Ion gets their knowledge, because Ion just comes in and zaps your brain, right? So they suck the knowledge stuff out of JW's brain for the recipes, but I'm not sure. Ion can get it from anybody, so it might not be
I'd like to hear where to get JW's favorite cheeseburger in the whole world.
That's a good point. He may have a place, but I think he just eats anywhere.
Comes to him?
Not sure. What?
I said, I wonder if it comes to him.
Yeah, I think the good stuff always comes to him. He had a pretty magical life before Ion showed up. Just because he could afford it. I mean, he may be one of the richest guys in America, if not the world. He's not a quadrillionaire. There's only 31 of those in the world. But he's on the trillionaire level, and so he gets whatever he wants, immediately. So he even can speed along the highways at 150 miles an hour, and nobody stops him. The cops, they're all in his pocket or whatever. Or nobody interferes with JW.
Crazy.
Right, and then here he is, this guy.
Speed down the highway at 150. And if no cops see me, then.
No, but see, the cops, he has bodyguards, and the cops let him do it.
No, I
so maybe he employs a lot of people in Georgia, so maybe that's a factor. But the what was I going to say about a billionaire?
Not many quadrillionaires or something like that.
Yeah, there's not many. So being a trillionaire. JW once told me that if you've got $100 billion, that's about the last level of measurement. You know, in Gates and them, they used to be at $50 billion. But when you get to $100 billion, your investments go up and down. You know what I mean? And so it can go up to half of $500 billion or down to $80 billion. It fluctuates based on a lot of factors. So it could fluctuate up to a trillionaire. So that's an interesting fact. You reach... what do they call that? Clinical mass? Critical mass at 100 billion.
Mass, yeah.
After that, it's used for trying
dollars.
To measure it.
$100 billion.
Yeah, and it's subject to a lot of whatever you own and the stock prices. It's changing all the time, you know?
Sure.
Funny. See, what all it really adds up to is being able to do whatever you want, and I can do that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to say. So here's JW. He can have anything he wants. And he gets captured by Bob. And within a few days of finally capturing him, he doesn't want to smoke anymore. He doesn't want cigars. He doesn't want to drink coffee. He doesn't want to drink wine. He's like gone non-consumer. And it's taken a while to recover from that, the shock to his system. That's actually, we have a session on that on Chromosome 14, which was done within a week or so, March 28th. 10 days later, and I say, is this because his etheric body, I was using normal theosophical stuff, his etheric body was affected by you, Ion? And he says, no, we affected, his chromosome 14 got affected, and that's when we first hear about chromosome 14. We don't pursue it for another year or two, but it said right in the very early session. So I understand that more now, but his chromosome 14 got affected, and he had a lot of his desire went downhill, and then he would stay around at home, very different from the way his servants and help knew him. He was always on the go outside driving places. Now he was doing nothing, just sitting around waiting for Bob to call to talk to Ion. So it was pretty interesting. It was some outside person, maybe some of his bodyguards, saying, Jesus, something's grabbed JW, and Bob's captured him. This Bob and Carol, like, he just stays and waits till they call, and then he starts saying crazy stuff. So it's pretty interesting how you can look at it.
Yeah.
Now that's lockdown Bob rule. I took over one of the richest men in the world and harnessed him for my purposes, which I claimed I'd been doing for 25 years on the radio. So tell me your words don't make your reality. Start talking big.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I'm talking about. That's why I'm saying, like, I'm basically abandoning the music industry to continue until it's, you know, just finally.
You're in the Nate industry. It's the Nate industry.
Yeah, I'm inventing
you're creating
a new band. I don't know what I'm gonna call it. So I don't care. Someone else will name it down the road.
Are you still there, Brian?
Yep.
Do you have anything you want us to add to this?
Well, I mean, you just said it. Talk big. I guess not really. Not right now.
Well, I would say talk small. You don't talk with a size in mind. That's visual bias. So you talk, you're going to become the smallest, most powerful thing. Also, the biggest.
Right.
Ion has said that people think bigger is stronger, but actually smaller is stronger.
Yeah.
Tinier and tinier.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
So
like that.
Bob.
I have to call it a night, though, Bob, so I'm going to sign off on that good note.
Okay, well, that's good. You contribute a lot. Thanks for filling in.
I will be going back to that library soon. I'll see if I can check out the Yates book.
Right. And if you get a chance, have you been listening to our Zappa series?
A little bit, and it's really good.
It is good. It's very interesting. And,
yeah.
We're up to, 155 hours now or something.
Oh, my God. I can never listen to it all.
No, just dip into it every now and then. Work your way through it. If you're going to be here forever, there's no rush.
Exactly. Okay, cool, man.
Brian.
Okay, thanks a lot, Brian.
Good time. Bye, everybody.
Brian, when did he hang up already?
What concert?
Conference. He mentioned a conference earlier when you two were talking.
Oh, yeah. What was that? Oh, the McLuhan. That's on the McLuhan stuff. That's on McLuhan Galaxy. That's
okay,
October.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You know McLuhan Galaxy? Have you looked at that?
No. I just remember now. I'll go back and listen to the archive and get the link.
Well, it's McLuhanGalaxy.wordpress. Let's see. .com. You can go there right now. The,
oh, yeah, there it is.
Yeah, it's McLuhanGalaxy, one word, .wordpress.com. So just that list of names that are coming got us into talking about all kinds of things. Because I went into Joshua Merowitz.
Oh, it's
came to Toronto
week.
Looking for Dobbs.
Tomorrow.
New Science of Communication.
No, that's a book. I've just bought that. But look, do you see the conference? It's October 14, 16, 2016. International Conference, the Toronto School. And it's called Then, Now, Next. They're trying to do ION. You know, our then is now planted from the next,
yeah,
from the future into our now.
Yeah.
Do you see it?
I'm at the
it's
site.
It's under the New Science of Communication.
Yeah, it's under that
site. I'm at the site,
post.
But it brought up a different page.
Just go down, scroll down, Gene. It's like a few posts down. It's
fourth
like
item.
A,
oh, there it is.
A
okay,
mosaic.
Got it.
Look to it.
Yeah.
Then, now, next.
And now look at this. Then. Okay, so, you know, Don Thiel basically named the grouping of Eric Havelock, who did the book Preface to Plato in the early 60s, Harold Innes, influenced by Wyndham Lewis and other things. If I, whenever I meet a LaRouche, I always tell them there are two great economists in the 20th century, Lynn LaRouche and Harold Innes. And McLuhan sometimes, when he was in a certain mood, would say all of his writings, a footnote to Harold Innes. So he was a political economist who realized the medium was the message. So he's important. He realized that in the late 40s, early 50s. What's not known is how much he was influenced by Wyndham Lewis, just as McLuhan was. So they say. So then when scholars started in the McLuhan revival in the 90s, started looking back, well, where, did McLuhan, is there something, a group we can put him into? Like scholars like to make a group name, some kind of movement. So they came up with Don Thiel, though Derek de Kerckhoff thinks that some guy back in the 70s wrote an obscure book and he called it the Toronto School, but that nobody knew that. But Don Thiel was on the scene, and he wrote an essay for Croker's Journal around 1986 calling it the Toronto School of Communication. So it starts off with Innes, McLuhan, and Eric Havelock. So they say, then, between the 1930s and 1970s, a community of intellectuals emerged in and around the University of Toronto. Yes, they were all teachers at the University of Toronto, and bumped up against each other, and achieved international recognition for its innovative and transdisciplinary approaches to the evolving societal challenges. As then. Now, then it says under now, the Toronto School of International Conference aims to bring together international scholars to engage in dialogue on the origins, rise, decline, and the rebirth. Thanks to Wired magazine, it got rebirth and the internet. But Wired was the magazine propaganda for the internet, which brought McLuhan back. The rebirth of the so-called Toronto School of Communication. Then it says, next, discussion will examine the extent to which the so-called Toronto School of Communication has provided a legacy that continues to offer insight on crucial and systemic issues facing contemporary society across various disciplines. But what they should say is, next is IONDEM. We complete the
yeah.
Toronto School and move past it. That's what they don't recognize. And you see Dave Neufeld. Did you see his letter? I got to post it on Dupes. His article on...
Yeah.
Well, he just... Among...
Oh, yes.
Among these
yes,
guys...
Yes, I did read that. That was
published
great.
McLuhan. He started saying, yeah, why are you guys ignoring Bob and Carolyn? And
yeah.
He goes on and on. It's very nice what he said, and it's appropriate, and it's our manifesto at them. Because ION is the new technology, the new environment.
Well, look at that. Yeah, the goal of the conference is to discuss the extent of the legacy. They're talking about the past and just how the extent of the legacy of the information already created. And that's so
right.
Not
funny.
That's so not, Bob.
That's right. They don't recognize the present or the next. We are the next. We're the effects preceding the causes.
We're the now.
And
in the Engong, there's no any of this.
Right, I forgot about that word.
They're just
retrieving
McLuhan.
The,
they're not,
and hoping it's relevant to what's coming.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting.
Yes, it's. I'm glad I'm not in that world anymore of presenting papers and that nobody
yeah.
listens to, and you just sort of make your own contribution.
What do you mean anymore? You never were.
I did. I did March 28th, 1990. Yeah, once. That's all. I only do things once, Carolyn. I only got married once.
You attempted to persuade
right?
once.
Only need to do it once
persuade.
When you do it right.
Yeah. I may not be as good as I was, but I can still do it once. The one school of communication.
Hey,
so,
Bob, when you...
So I did that, Carolyn.
In your archive, when you go to Fordham University, the audio is so fucked up I couldn't listen to it. Do you have another way I can see that?
Oh, I played it. It's audible.
Okay.
I played it on the show a couple months ago, and it was clear,
okay.
wasn't it?
I don't know. Maybe
I don't know.
It was
if
some
you...
weird thing. With some... I'll look at it again later. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, it's quite audible. I mean, anyways, what were we just saying? So, Carolyn, yes, I only presented once or twice, but I used to go to them and listen and ask questions and participate,
uh-huh.
you know.
Stir the pot.
But Frank Zingroni, who'd been to many of them through the decades, says he didn't like them because no one really listens. They just go and read their papers.
Yeah.
It's a very boring environment.
Yeah.
And they're usually just connecting to make business connections.
Same in medical conferences, yeah.
There's no dialogue in any creative way. They're not going to start a revolution or something. You know, everybody get all excited, and then by the end of the weekend, they're different people. No, that's not going to happen.
No,
so
you show up just to be able to say you were there.
Yeah. Yeah. And also for tax reasons. You have certain expenses. A lot of the hotel convention is for people in professions who have to get expenses, so they make conferences for them to go to that they can deduct. So what? I think I'll play some new Ion right now and see where that leads. Now, Madeline and Lady Ohm are together in San Francisco, so two Ionettes teamed up today.
Bob, when you were cut off, she texted me, and her battery ran out on her phone, and she doesn't have a charger. So they lost the opportunity to call in.
Yeah, didn't I actually hear her voice? Didn't she call in for a minute? Maybe not. So
she texted me and asked, and she just communicated.
And Lady Ohm didn't have anything.
No, they're at a friend of Lady Ohm's house, so they don't have their phones, but they're listening.
Yeah, now someone Derp X says I hate LinkedIn. I agree. So Derp, what's wrong with LinkedIn? I participated so little. I don't know what's wrong with it. It just looks stupid. It probably doesn't help anybody, but we're beyond helping. Nobody can help us. We got Ion, and we're going forward in a whole different level of expanding than normal. We're not following any business model or anything. We don't even need connections. People asking for me to play P Control by Prince. They want me to play something. Well, I can do it really quickly. If I don't put it in, it's going to come through just through my computer, if that's acceptable. Otherwise, I have to do this whole process of registering it in Bill System, but I'm not going to do that. We'll just play it. Yeah, what?
I was just saying we might go when you're playing this, so I'll call in later again.
Well, finish up. You know, basically what's going to happen is we start at 2, which is 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And we'll go till 11 my time. And then take 5 hours off and come back at 4 my time, which is 10 in the morning Eastern Standard Time. And we'll go from 10 until what is it, for 5 hours, till 3. So it's going to be limited. I'm not going past
okay.
9 my time, because I like going to bed reasonable so I can have a Sunday afternoon at the beach or something.
Right,
so
right.
If I stay up too late, I sleep off the afternoon. So an ion's on there for 5 hours in the morning. That's a long enough for ion, you know. That's
right.
A good contribution.
Yeah, for sure.
So the standard times now will be 2 for the next 8 months, because then the time shift for 4 months. But
okay.
From 2 till what would be if we end at 11? And I mean, tonight,
so
I ended earlier because there's nobody here helping me.
5 hours ahead of
it's
11.
It's 2 a.m. Pacific.
No, 6. So
I'm in Central.
Right. So if I end at 11 my time, that's 5 in the morning.
East Coast.
No, 5 in the afternoon? What is that?
It's 4 a.m. Central time.
Yeah, 4 a.m. Central time. Okay.
No, it's
and
6
then,
hours.
And then,
it has to be, it's 6 hours. If I end at 11, it has to be 6 hours for me, and that's 5 in the morning.
That's East Coast, Bob.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Melissa
East Coast.
And I
you guys,
are Central
yeah,
time.
Yeah, 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm doing it east. Bill put it on the computer. He's doing EST. So we're going to be 5 Eastern Standard Time, 5 in the morning. No, that's when we end. So we're
right.
Going from 8 until 5 in the morning maximum on Saturday
mm-hmm.
night. And then it's going to be 5 hours in the morning, 10 till 3 Eastern Standard Time. So that's basically what it's going to be, unless something
nice.
Changes it completely.
No, that's okay.
So you're right
well,
now.
Great nap time.
You're at,
it's like kindergarten, Bob. It's nap time.
Yes. And so you guys,
get your milk.
Is it 1:30 in the morning? Is it 12:30 in the morning your time?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's it. We'll see what we do in this interim. But I never thought
fun.
I'd play Bob Never, so that was good. Yeah, Bob
that
Never
was a
lot good.
Of fun.
Bob and Jerry Fialka. Bob's accountant. And what do you think of the accounting? I just posted that a few
yeah,
weeks
that's
ago.
Hilarious.
You know, doing the tetrads on the whole. We got this warehouse of gold. Now, here's something I said, or the accountant says, well, Bob's got all this gold, all this wealth. Well, that's what
right.
Ryan keeps going on about.
Right. Yeah,
there it was. I said it. Warehouses of gold.
Yes, and the accountant
oh,
way back
the
there.
Accountant said that JR was basically a computer image for us. I made that note.
That's right. He's just now that
yeah.
he's the exes have landed, we have no personal contact with JR. He's just a computerized image now. Yeah, right.
Yeah,
like
great.
You were a hologram before Ion.
Yeah.
Oh, Bob.
Yeah, that's right.
Bob. Baudrillard's chapter on the hologram is so cool. We should talk about that another time.
Yes, what I'm going to do, Gene wanted this
yes.
6 months
and
ago.
I don't get that.
I'm going to take one
Bob,
of my Baudrillard books. Now listen, I'm going to take one of my Baudrillard books and I'll publish my notes. So
yes,
then you can look up the page.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good
that's
way to have a dialogue because... Yeah.
Explain to me, Bob. She's
I mean, you'll see.
She's an artist.
I'll say LaRouche, page 18. You got to go to page 18 and read that page and see. Well, what's Bob seeing that
yeah.
relates to LaRouche in here? See, that's
sweet.
The course,
Bob,
course
just,
material.
I just emailed you about your notes. That's a nice. That's a nice little.
Oh, did you?
Synchrony that's happening right now because I was like, yeah, I want to. You know, because you posted your notes and before like few like 6 months ago maybe. I kept saying, like, oh, your notes
yeah.
are amazing. They should be, we should blow them up.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, this is a good starting point. You should do that. I would definitely appreciate that. And then I want to play
right.
with
no.
your notes. I want to play with your notes in some artistic ways, you know, as well.
Right.
That's
because
a good segue.
I've got a lot of Baudrillard books, made a lot of notes
okay.
in all of them. Which one? I'm thinking of screening or, The Transparency of Evil, which you got any, what's the book you're reading? Simulation. That's an early one. I don't know if I got many notes and that's too early for me. That's like
I'm reading
a
simulacrum.
Little book, but maybe. Yeah, I have that. I've got the book,
object,
but I'll have
Bob.
To see if there's many notes in it.
Okay.
What?
Yeah, whatever
I'm
whatever
reading.
You.
Would you Doesn't matter. I'll pick it then. You don't care.
Gene, what are you
Bob,
saying?
I have two questions. Number one is it sounds
yeah,
like
you can pick
Alyssa's...
It,
sounds like Alyssa is just sucking up Baudrillard, and she's got that artistic base. And
It's a handicap.
She seems to be sucking up a lot better, and I can barely get through it from
It's just
from a
the quadrant,
base.
Bob. It's just the quadrant. The Kroger quadrant.
That's right.
Hilarious.
It's only a quadrant.
Yeah, I've been.
And remember, you were asking me the other day about Kroger. This is Kroger is the Baudrillard quadrant, but Kroger
yeah,
takes
exactly.
it further than Baudrillard.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, the artist in the Kroger. I feel like there's some uncanny
yep.
things
That's
going
right.
on in
That's
the.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think?
And notice that I have Dr. Scientist in the Dobbs quadrant. That's more LaRouchian, you know. Dr. Scientist. It's easy to be an artist today. That's the cop out. That's the marijuana addiction.
Yeah, it's so easy. Yeah, exactly. Oh man, but I think it's just playtime. It's not even trying. I'm not trying to do anything in social mortar, but it'd be really fun to do some stuff. So we can talk about that later. But you pick a book, and please, post your notes. That would be awesome.
I'll post them. Yeah.
Cool. Do you have notes
right.
for a system of objects, Bob?
I have that book. That's a very
Do you
early
have notes?
Book.
You have the notes for a system of
No, because I never read it. It was too early. That's more sociology. It looks boring. Might be interesting, but I have not read it. Okay, so thanks for dropping in, Nate and Alyssa. You got to get home in time for your babysitter, you know.
Hey, before you move on, what was the name of that book? The Meaning of Meaning?
Yes, The Meaning of Meaning. You might want to look at it. The Meaning of
Meaning.
Yeah,
I'm going to check it out. Oh, yeah, and can
yeah, you
will
hear on
the a Duke's login or whatever that is? I want to get in on that shit. I don't
well,
even know
you,
what it
you
is.
Write to Ion at How Ionic. You send an email to Ion at How Ionic to request the thing with you. Then I put you through the paces. And you will send me the name that you register at, and then I approve it. So send an email
okay,
to Ion
I can
at
pick
How
any
Ion.
Name.
Yeah. Yeah,
Can I pick Dragon? Just because it's so
no,
badass.
No, you can't pick that. That's me. No. You pick the one name of all the words in the world. You pick the one you can't. But no, you can. We'll let it ride.
I'll pick Fire Extinguisher.
Yeah, Dragon. Okay. But you've got
you,
to
Bob.
Send me an email. Right. Now, right. something I wanted to mention to you. The Baudrillard. Okay, we're just saying the Baudrillard books. I thought you were going to ask which book. What was it?
Meaning of
what
meaning.
What were you saying before that? Oh, The Meaning of Meaning. Something about that book. On the medium
the light bulb came on and went off so fast.
Yes, Bob's filing system. The album McLuhan put out in 67, or other people did, called The Mediumist and Massage, you'll hear him go, The Meaning of Meaning. You'll hear him play on that title, and you actually see it distorted and played with in Finnegan's Its Wake.
Oh, cool.
So, just telling you, that phrase got around, or that book title. And one of the guys who wrote the book recorded Joyce. Those great recordings of Joyce were made by him. His name is Ogden. He recorded Joyce. So,
awesome.
There it is. Okay, I'll talk to you guys soon.
That was fun. Deals. Yeah, talk to you soon. Bye.
Yeah, say hi to your kids. I hope they go to university. I hope they do well. Tough nowadays. I understand being parents is tough, but we're only playing bridge here. This is suburbia. Okay? So we got people. So we're going to play this Prince request. Let's see what this sounds like. I think all avenues are open. Oh, that's pretty good. Anybody have any comment? I didn't get all the lyrics. My daughter-in-law writes an email.
You don't have a daughter.
No, I said daughter, foster daughter.
No, you didn't.
Oh, I said daughter, mother. Well, I meant foster daughter. I don't know if she's listening to the show, but what we're doing now is waiting for someone to comment on that song. I'd have to look up the lyrics, but I'm not looking it up unless someone comments. Waste my time.
I didn't like it that much. He always has the same kind of slap noise. I don't even know how to describe it. He uses the same crash slap, what do you call it? Recurrent beat that
dissonance?
I find boring.
Dissonance?
No, it's just the same tempo over and over and over in all his songs.
Hmm.
Maybe in live concerts.
Well, you haven't heard much of his stuff.
No.
You can't say.
No, but I've never really wanted to.
Okay, so...
He always felt like an extension of disco to me. But I really wasn't engaged in the hip, you know, that hip hop or pop scene or what. I didn't really even understand what pop was. Cause just kind of went past disco, and disco was too, monotone or something. There is that, just that beat that didn't seem to change much.
All I have to do is look over in the list. If I think of it every now and then, their answer is Death Row Records is the murder one, says Leon and Sarah. Yeah, not Def Jam, it's Death Row Records. Other people are suggesting all kinds of stuff that I'm not responding to. I don't read this thing as I'm... I can't do more than half a thing at one time. Let alone one thing at one time. What's this? This is somebody, Eliza. Mike, what's your son's name? Mike, well, you like golf, right? Well, yeah, I haven't seen my son in years, hence I forgot his name. But that's not me. Well, that's Bob Neverett. But it's me pretending to be Bob Neverett, but I don't have a son. I have foster kids, but I don't have any. I didn't create any direct simulation. Oh, someone pointed out Denise Benson. That's right, Denise. How would KC know that? Denise Benson? You're right, KC. But these guys are probably long gone to sleep. I'm getting to these names a little too, these points.
And Sarah Sarah found the definition of fat.
Where is that?
Pretty hot and tempting.
Right, we know that, but where did Russell name? Okay, so maybe that he heard that meaning, and he named a store after that. Yeah, okay. Well, where did the meaning come from, Sarah?
Bob, it was just a slang term that was being used in black community. They were using it, and he picked up on it, and he made it into his company.
Right, so he created. Was already there.
Yeah, it was already there.
They called it street slang.
Okay, and so it has nothing to do with phatic linguistics, probably. It's just a term that showed up in their world for their reasons, not ours. We're not publicly, what do we call that, the world of something. Here's what Russell Simmons says. Black culture or urban culture is for all people who buy into it, and not just for black people. Whether it's film or TV or records or advertising and clothing, I don't accept the box that they put me in. Well, that was a good practical business idea, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so anybody got anything they want to say?
No, we're ready for the ion recording.
Oh, yeah, we can do some ion stuff. Okay, I'm just organizing my archives.
Did I hear Bert?
Yes. Hey, Bob.
Oh, Bert, when did you come in?
Eliza.
Hi, Eliza.
Hey,
I've been here for a while. Hey.
Wow, what number are you on? Oh, you're in that weird number. that number an hour or two ago was making a lot of noise. It was making a lot of noise. I had to mute it. Okay, so you're here. Just a second. I just want to finish the... if I don't download the chat line stuff soon, I lose a lot of it because it'll drop off the first half, say. So I got to grab it now while it's still here. Looks like Sean got the first input. Okay, so what we're going to do, I need an audience, Bert. First of all, we're going to have you praise what you learned from me this week in your own studies. We always like to hear that, what incredible insights
praise
you got.
Praise only, Bert.
Bert, Bob's only student.
Yes, but now you're developing the Bert people. You remember the Bert people from last week? So
What's that?
The Bert people.
The Bert people from
recording
you played. Crap, what was the recording now? Oh, the Reconstruction.
It
was Ion's session on Reconstruction.
Right, and he talked about the Bert people, or we were talking about Bert. We were talking about Bert and his people.
Well,
did I say that? Did
you made it into,
or did Ion?
You made it current, Bob, and so now Bert is going to have his people.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the black people, the black caucus, now called the Bert people. The Bert people took over the South for a couple of weeks, and then the white guys got their shit together, killed them all, and took away their freedom, put them back in the slave camps, and we had Jesse Helms and Strom Thurmond from then on. Right, Bert? Yes, the Bert people. They had a
Bert,
day of liberation.
Just
temporary
more
autonomous
and more all
zone.
The time. Yes.
No, they had a temporary autonomous zone. You know what? Hey, Bert, let me say this. You read Gravity's Rainbow. The four parts in Europe at the end of the war, you had the Russian zone, the British zone, somebody else's zone, American zone, these four or five zones, it's total anarchy in the summer of 45 before the John McCloy Rockefeller guys come in and organize Germany. You know what I mean? That's what was going on in the South during the Reconstruction period, 1867, 8, 9, was your people running amok. You had all kinds of freedom. So read Gravity's Rainbow to see what it was like.
Okay. Gravity's Rainbow. Thomas Pynchon.
Thomas Pynchon. Yeah. Okay, so somebody wanted to say something. Somebody was demanding my attention.
I want to say I bought Destiny Matrix from Jack Safadi. And
good.
I started reading it. I got it this week. He's quite an interesting history. And I was looking on your timeline to see if you engage him, but I couldn't find it. I probably wasn't looking. I looked from I went from the 70s. I think I stopped looking until 2001, but I didn't see where you engaged him. Did you engage him? Do you have a dialogue with him?
Yes, and that was in 2007, 2008. Yeah, but it's not. But the couple were from a Connecticut TV show. They never sent us the tape. I never heard from them again. So they were probably a cable channel, public access. So I never saw what they did with it. It would be good because it was me and Jack in the backseat of their car talking for a while and them taping it. So I guess it'll show up someday.
It, Bert,
to be. But
no,
we have no public record.
I searched for that cable TV channel. Even and I couldn't.